Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
And welcome to CJSF Radio. This is streaming from Burnaby Mountain, the unceded territories of the Squamish, Musqueam, Coquitlam, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations, the Coast Salish people who allow us to live, learn, and play on these lands. Today we are joined with the incredible duo Pilk Silk, who are going to be introducing us to their work as well as setting the stage for their performance that's coming up at the Chan Center for Performing Arts on April 12th at 7:30 p.m. alongside the legendary singer-songwriter Susan Ellie Clark. Pilk Silk is an acclaimed throat singing duo from the Inuit community, and the work that they do is looping their voices with techniques of the digital audio and creating a incredibly riveting and truly haunting, as described by the Vancouver Sun, experience, trying to reclaim a tradition that was once outlawed and nearly lost due to colonialism. And so this work is greater than just a performance, but an act of cultural defiance and joy. Thank you so much for joining us today. I would love for you guys to introduce yourselves and allow the listeners to maybe hear a little bit about where your name, Pilk Silk, came from.
Thanks so much for having us. My name's Tiffany Eilich. I'm one half of Pilk Silk, and my sister.
Hi, I'm Inukshuk. I am the other half of Pilk Silk.
We are originally born and raised in Yellowknife, Northwest Territories, but our families come from the Kogluktuk and Kivalduk regions. And we live down south now. We've been throat singing together for our entire lives. I can't really remember a time when we weren't throat singing, being sisters and growing up together. Mm-hmm. It was just something that we always did when we were younger.
Yeah, it sounds like such a great, community act as well. Was it just you two that would sing together, or would you guys sing with other members of your family and community as well?
We throat sang a lot with our cousins, and mm-hmm. it was very much a fun game when we were kids. So it wasn't something that we took super seriously. It's really lighthearted mm-hmm. and just so fun, and it's competitive. So you were, always practicing to try to beat the cousin who was the best. In our case, that's Ivik Ayalik, who I'm sure could still best us any day of the week. So we had a lot of fun doing that as kids, and we would ask aunties or family friends or anybody else who knew throat singing to teach us songs anytime we had a chance to be with them. We grew up in Yellowknife, so a lot of family would come through for medical, for example, and when they were staying with us, that was like, oh, okay, this is our chance. Let's see if they can teach us any songs while they're here. And it was also really fun, anytime we're traveling in Nunavut, we've had these fun experiences where you see another throat singer, you kind of lock eyes from across the tiny airport, and then you're like, oh, hi. And then you run over and you're like, any new songs? And they're like, yeah, I learned one recently when I was traveling. And, you'll get out your phone and record the song mm-hmm. for each other so that you can go home and practice it. And I think that's just such a delightful way that technology is being used to help support the preservation and reclamation of some of our cultural practices.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you guys use that to the T with your loop pedals and the mm-hmm. ability to create like an entire, ocean of sound just with you two, your two voices. How has that been able to transform the way that you approach making music and engaging in this tradition?
So growing up, we were always very drawn to choral music, music that had big, lush sounding, multi-harmonic artists. And, growing up, we listened to a ton of Enya. We listened to a lot of, music from like Danny Elfman and from, Tim Burton-esque sounding things. And so we had a very metal, we listened to a lot of different music, and I think we were really influenced a lot By that, we also sang in choirs and played different instruments. And so we had a really broad palette of things that we really enjoyed listening to and creating. And we always joked when we were little that, like, okay, when we're older, we're going to be in a throat singing band. And, you know, like we, you know, just little kid stuff that, you know, we didn't take too seriously. But, you know, it's pretty amazing that here we are today in a throat singing band.
Amazing. That's so amazing.
We had a pretty broad kind of foundational aesthetic palette that we grew up with and really, resonate with. And so we always also loved the idea of choral singing. And so we just kind of were like, what if there was a way to make it sound like there were 100 throat singers in one spot? Mm-hmm. What would that sound like? And that was, kind of always an experimental thing. Inukshuk, you know, before we were officially a band, was recording on, what was that program again? Like little Sibelius?
Just on a desktop.
And doing, you know, like 4 and 5 part harmony things with throat singing and choral music. And, you know, that was, and then when I was at university, you know, somebody brought in a looper for vocals and instrumentations to, you know, be playing with in a movement class. And so I think it's so funny that we kind of both came to this kind of like looping and multi-voice thing from different, different places, but then we kind of ended up in the same place, which is kind of cool. And, you know, we treat our music very much like a experiment. Like we're in a lab and we're experimenting, and we try to be like really open and brave and courageous in how we're experimenting. I think we ask lots of questions of ourselves and of each other. And, you know, what is the cool thing about us not having lyrics is it kind of gives us a little bit of a framework to say, well, how can we say that without words? Or how can we, paint this picture, tell this story just sonically? And it's funny that sometimes giving yourself the limit of, a little bit of a constraint actually forces you to be really creative in other ways. So yeah, I think all of those things kind of came together in how we approach our music and create our sound.
That's
really
incredible.
Fun and innovative way.
Yeah, that's incredible. I feel like that sense of wonder every time you kind of get to the mic, and I mean every performance then is itself its own unique like ephemeral piece, right? Makes it so that, you know, people should be experiencing the performance sitting in those seats in the theater, you know, like having that very fresh and like wonderful, I guess, creative moment between two sisters. I'm sure you guys are constantly surprised still that you can come up with so many different things, right? Like it's a never-ending process of creation. I wanted to ask about that, like, as well. You talked about sharing the songs and sharing stories like with other throat singers in the community. Is that something that you guys gift to each other as well, these songs? And I was curious if your new album, Legends, that is actually nominated for a Juno Award. Congratulations. It's so incredible. I wanted to ask, how did that album come together, and what kinds of songs did you consider including that had to do with your own traditions and your own, I guess, intimacies with your culture as well?
I think we gravitated towards songs that are stories that really resonated with us as children, and having children of our own gives you a chance to sort of relive the stories as you're sharing them with your kids, and really appreciate the brilliance of Inuit culture in terms of storytelling as a tool to teach children and to keep them safe on the land. And We love scaring kids within reason. But a lot of stories for children are pretty scary. And I know my kids absolutely love them. Sometimes I get a little too scary. They'll say, no, mommy, that's enough. But then, they're like, no, okay, do it again. I'm ready. Do it again. So there's a lot of memories of fun and, you know, staying up late and begging your aunts or uncles to tell you stories, your older cousins. And it was something that I think we always just really enjoyed, and it meant a lot to us growing up. So we love youth. We love young folks. We really have a lot of faith and respect. And I almost want to say like reverence for the youth of today, for the world that they're navigating. It's absolutely astounding the amount of over information and challenges that they experience. It's a lot different even from when we grew up, and it's just a lot to navigate. So I think even in these times where things are changing so quickly, the values in Inuit culture stand firm, you know, they still apply. And, you know, this is sort of our love letter to the young folks, and just a reminder to stay grounded in cultural values.
Totally. I feel like that as a whole in this, like you said, fast paced, consumer culture, super saturated with the next best thing, being forced in a way to slow down and really consider the building of voices and the stories that don't need words to be told. It's really beautiful. And yeah, I listened to the album and I would recommend everyone to take a listen to it as well. I feel like it has a sense of peace to it. I think that a lot is missing in our current world. We're all very, I think, elevated in this way. And there's some, like you said, there's some beauty in the groundedness that comes from just the pureness of a voice, rather than having so much other, I guess, forces involved. I'm thinking about like the scrolling on like on TikTok or Instagram, about how kind of jarring every time you get to the next page it is. And throat singing to me has really created a lot of flow in my listening experience, which I really appreciate. How do you feel about this being this event at the Chan Center? It's the Made in Canada series to unite and celebrate new Inuit artists. How would you see this as a form of like a kind of family event as well? Would you see this as something that you would want you to bring your family to, or that people would benefit from watching as a family? Because I guess you guys are sisters as well, so there's some familial connection there.
Yeah, it actually there's a couple of intersecting familial things happening. Amazingly enough, Susan actually at one point was a babysitter for. Babysat Inuk as a kid.
So our mother tells me. I was probably pretty young.
and the sort of intergenerational aspect of this show is amazing, because Susan was hands down the most important figure for us growing up as an Inuk woman, you know, who grew up in a small community, went and did amazing things in an industry, was the first Inuk to ever win a Juno, triple platinum celebrated artist, and Canadian Inuk, all of the things that, like, you know, when you're a small town kid growing up in the north and, you know, seeing a picture of the supreme auntie Susan on the cover of Chatelaine, and seeing that, like, oh my gosh, how formative that was as a young kid, and seeing her on Much Music, and, you know, seeing having that have a deep impact on just what we thought was possible as young people, and, you know, to be able to share a stage with her in you know, a gorgeous concert hall in one of the best sounding rooms in Canada is pretty, like, I just keep having this experience of like looking back on our little selves and being like, it's like, it's more wild than you could ever imagine, you know, like to be able to tell our little selves, that this is what we're doing. It's, I don't know. It gives me the feels every time.
Totally. I can imagine. I feel like, wow, that's such a small world that you guys now, shared a community, and now you share a stage. I feel like that's the best part about music too. It brings people together, and it can propel you to places that you never would have thought you'd end up in. So yeah, that's a shout out to all the families that are looking for things to do with their maybe screen obsessed young family members. Get them in the theater, get them listening to some amazing music. That'll be April April 12th, 7:30 p.m. at the Chung Concert Hall, the Chan Center for Performing Arts. And yeah, to continue this conversation, I'm really interested on how your guys' experience has been. I mean, you're on tour right now, and you were just, as you said, you were in Hamburg and you're going to be in New Zealand. I'm curious on how your relationship to the music and does the audience's presence and kind of where you perform affect the music that you produce, or also the reception that you get from the music. How has it been performing this, you know, beautiful tradition of art that you used to do in your bedroom growing up to now, you know, concert halls in other countries? How does that feel for you guys?
The venue, the vibe, the audience all contribute to the type of performance that we have. So because we perform improvisationally, we have like a general idea of the bass throat songs that we want to use that night to build the loops with the loop station. But we don't know exactly what we're going to do. So it's a conversation live that Tiff and I are having without words to sort of interpret sonically how we're feeling that day, what's going on in the world, what the vibe of the audience is, what the vibe in the building is. And so those things all come together to create a different show each time we perform. So yeah, absolutely, the place that we're in and the people that we're surrounded with shape the way the show goes.
Yeah, that's going to be really exciting then to see what you come up with at the place where in Vancouver I heard that's where your album was recorded as well. So it seems as though it's a great place for creating music. I think I want to just end off this amazing interview asking you guys if you have any of your favorite songs from your album that we can play after for the audience to listen to. And if you have any words of advice for people who want to come to the show but are not certain about it, or maybe just in general of artists and creatives in the world and how kind of following your dreams from even when you're a young age and not knowing if you're going to get there, how does it feel to reach that kind of pinnacle? I guess not the final pinnacle. I'm sure there's still many to go. Yeah, I'm curious.
Well, for songs, it's funny because we made the album. Obviously, we know these songs inside and out. And since we've put it out, I'd say that some of my favorites have definitely shifted the more time that has passed and the more I listen to it, and the more like life that happens. Including like sometimes some songs that are like, oh my gosh, this is my absolute favorite. This is my favorite one of the album. And then it's so funny, like a month later, I'll be like, oh shoot, listening, I'm listening to some other things and we created it. But then there's also all this like other stuff that kind of like happens
I forgot Tiff did that there. Yeah.
And like, oh wait, cool. And we do this thing too, where sometimes we forget who is singing what. And there's been this kind of like, no, that was, no, you're doing that at 3 minutes.
Wait, you did that.
It's like, no, wait, who did that? So it kind of, when they get all put together, it almost kind of creates this like third voice that happens with the kind of the collective experience kind of creates this other, I don't really know how to explain it, but it's almost like this other voice emerges and it's
collective.
Hard to tell. Yeah, this collective sound that is this kind of third voice made up of many other voices, and then you just hear it in a different way. And so definitely for me, some of the favorites have shifted, or not necessarily favorites, but getting more out of it the more I listen to it and the more time that passes. It's an interesting, very like dynamic listening experience. And I'd say like right now for me, one of my favorites that I'm really getting into and enjoying is hearing Nuliayuk, our goddess of the sea. That one just keeps giving for me right now.
That's great. Okay. I'm really excited about that. I love the ocean. I was born in Bali, Indonesia, so really connected to the sea, and I'm really excited to take a listen to that.
It's good for a Vancouver audience too, just to hear what an Arctic Ocean creature sounds like as we're, walking across Jericho or something.
That's great. Thank you so much for for this interview and for sharing your incredible stories. And really, really implore everyone to make the leap and buy these tickets to go and see Made in Canada, the series that unites and celebrates acclaimed Inuit artists, the Chan Center for Performing Arts. This has been Pilk Silk. Inuk and Tiffany, thank you so much for being here and for sharing all of your stories. Truly, it's been an incredible pleasure. If you are a student, you are able to get tickets for the event for $30, which is more than a steal, I think. And this will be April 12th, 2026 at 7:30 p.m. At the Chan Shun Concert Hall stage. Thank you again. Good luck on the rest of your tour.
Thanks so much. Heading to New Zealand tomorrow. So we'll be coming back just in time to come play at the Chan. Really excited for it.
Perfect. Thank you again. This is CJSF Radio, and yeah, tuning out.
You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. I am your community journalist, Danny Nezvedarani,
And I am joined in studio with
James Houle. I'm the current treasurer